Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all review Napa Cellars Napa Valley Zinfandel. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Glad to be here. Good evening, Rob. It's very festive tonight.
Oh, ole, it is. We are listening to Viva Mariachi on Dish Music, on the Dish Network. I'm surprised they have this station, but nevertheless they do. We're playing this station in honor of our fearless leader, the very useful Mike DeWine.
There you go.
But also on the show, I am very excited to tell you folks, we have a wonderful, wonderful show because the Triple B is here.
Good evening. And that was the best intro I've ever had.
You might have been militant before or petulant. One of the two. There's always a fine line.
But look where it got me.
Yeah, you got that.
But tonight it was like, hooray, here's the confetti bombs.
That's because it's the mariachi music. It brings it out of me.
There is something about mariachi music.
There is something. Nevertheless, I like the festive nature of this music. I feel it's vibrant, and it makes me happy. So that's why we're playing it tonight. But we're going to play it a little quieter because it's too loud.
We need to be happy.
Yes. On tonight's show, folks, we have an interesting... No, we have a wine from a producer that we've had on the show before that we just don't know what to make of. I mean, there are some of these producers out there, you're like, why do you bother? Not because they're bad. This isn't Fry Brothers bad. It's just that they aren't as distinctive as they need to be, right?
This is a terrible intro. This wine could be fantastic.
I'm not saying that the wine is bad or good. I'm just saying the marketing, where is this wine's place in the world? That's my question. And I'm going to ask that again tonight after we drink it. But this wine specifically is Napa Cellars. They're Napa Valley Zinfandel. It is a Zinfandel. It's from Napa Valley, and it's Napa Cellars because they're in Napa Valley, so they should be named Napa Cellars.
Well, it's so nondescript that I don't remember what we had before.
They're V-Series or 5-Series Pinot Noir.
Huh. V-Series.
What does V mean? Vintner?
V is a letter or
a
Roman
letter,
numeral.
But it's funny they don't really have that
on their, Vino?
On their website anymore.
I think it was like a single vineyard or something like that, or I forget. It libraries, I don't know what it was. It was actually, we liked it. It was regularly $50 or $60, but it was Napa Cellars, wasn't it? But we got it for like $19.99.
Was it the Reserve Collection maybe? Was it Carneros?
It was Carneros.
Okay. Yeah, they still got it. Reserve Collection.
Yeah, that's what it is. But this wine is their standard Napa Valley Zinfandel. And when we come back, folks.
We like Napa Zins.
We do. But will we like this one? It looks right.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that more as soon as we come back here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care. But your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So the Napa Cellars, Napa Valley, what are they? They call anything else? Zinfandel. No, they don't.
They call it Zinfandel.
Well, they ran out of other things. Joe Shirley is the winemaker.
Stop calling me Shirley.
And his signature's on the back. So if you would like to forge his name, just buy yourself a bottle of Napa Cellars and, you know, do some tracing, get some talent, and then you can fuck him up. I'm just saying. 34% of this wine was on new French and American oak, which is exciting. And I believe there's quite a bit of Petite Sirah in this wine. 15%.
Which is common.
Yes. So, some notes from the winemaker. Grapes from the Napa Cellars 2015 Zinfandel were hand-selected from vineyards in the warmer region areas of Napa Valley, including St. Helena, Yountville, Oak Knoll, and Calistoga. Zinfandel grows best in warmer climates. Sourcing grapes from these warmer areas result in complex and concentrated fruit. See, I'm trying to have a little bit of an accent because some of those other dudes that do wine shows have an accent.
You sound like you're trying to be an extra in Cabaret with a bad German accent.
What are those What are those white things people wear around their neck that are like a
squawk box? No.
No, those things that are like fancy silk things. They're kind of like a little tie.
A cravat?
Cummerbund.
A cravat.
That's cummerbunds around your waist.
I was going to say, yeah, cummerbunds around
your waist. If a cummerbund's around your neck, you've had a bad night.
But that's I think it's called a cravat. But anyways, I feel like you should be wearing one of those instead of a
That's actually a compliment.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're doing great.
Thank you. I almost went into Hannibal Lecter. Sourcing grapes, here we go, from these warmer areas result in complex and concentrated fruit. Zinfandel is not as nearly as ubiquitous as Cabernet Sauvignon in Napa Valley and makes up roughly 2% of the total acreage. Following a 10 to 14 day maceration period, the lots were aged in 34% new French and American oak barrels for 19 months. The partial use of new oak helps preserve the big Zinfandel flavors while also imparting warm, spicy characteristics to create an elegant and balanced wine. Now, Triple B, the wine enthusiast, would you like to really read that review?
I would love to.
Wine enthusiast.
Also,
mm-hmm.
The wine enthusiast.
And they're very enthusiastic, though.
Mm-hmm. A broad-shouldered.
Mm.
Mm.
What do you think that means?
Big.
Big.
Okay. Also, that's very masculine.
Yes. Thick meat.
Women can be broad-shouldered.
In a masculine way.
That's true.
No, but it can just be broad-shouldered.
Legs like a linebacker.
Just a descriptor.
Yes.
Okay.
Brawny lass. Stout. I'm sorry.
Fruit-forward wine with plenty of ripeness. This is blended with a hearty 15% Petite Sirah. Cherry, blackberry, vanilla, and peppery cinnamon take turns on the rich, concentrated palate, finishing on an oaky tone.
Wow.
Mm.
And what was the score that they provided?
91.
91 of their points. And thank you. This is James Suckley. And
Hello, James.
Hello. I also reviewed this wine, but it was a bit of a trickery. Tim Atkins and I were... And it doesn't matter where we were, but... Tim said... Try this Chilean Malbec. And I went, oh, Tim. And I tasted it, and I went, that's delicious. And I gave it 91 of my points. And then he told me it was a Zinfandel from Napa. And I said, oh, you ruffian, Tim. He's so broad-shouldered. Anyway, and I wrote many things, but about the wine, I...
Can I read this review?
No, I must. A lighter-fruited nose. More in red-berry spectrum, but with lovely bay leaf. Vanilla and spice box. Spice box. Spice box. Medium to full bodied. I couldn't make up my mind. Fine tannins and a fruity finish. Yes. Fresh and delicious. Drink now. Spice box.
I know. I can't. I will tell you, when I read the Wine Enthusiast review, although it's a little bit...
Redberry Spectrum.
Spice box.
So, even though the Wine Enthusiast review is like a generic Zinfandel review, like you could apply this review to just about any Zin you're going to drink. I mean, fruit forward is like the definition of a Zin.
Yeah. Not if you're Sledgehammer.
But I will say it at least sounds very appealing. Like, if I'm like, oh. These are all things that I like in my Zen.
Mm.
That James Suckling review, I'm like, what?
What? I was very distracted that night. I don't want to tell you why, but Let's just say,
Timmy.
It's like there were just a bunch of words in a bowl, and he picked them out.
Yes.
Maybe even just letters.
Did you say ball? What? A gag? What?
Stop.
I don't know what went on. I was
drugged. In pieces, bits and pieces.
Yes. So, in the glass, the wine does look dark. What is the alcohol in this bastard to?
None. There's no
alcohol. Alcohol free. Mike Pence would drink this then.
Free?
14.9%.
Typically, the Napas are a little bigger in the alcohol content, the Zins.
Yep.
14.9, according to the.
That's pretty. Nice content.
Mm-hmm. And also, folks, just to let you know, the origin of these grapes. On the back of their little talkie sheet, Napa Cellars has provided us a map of Napa. And, on a map, you have a legend, and it tells us if it's a circle on the map, it's a owned vineyard by them from where they, produce the grapes. And if it's a pentagon?
Yeah,
it's pentagon. Shaped like that is where they bought the grapes. Now, or as they call grower partner, which I'm sure people use that term. Nevertheless, there are four dots on this map, and all of them are pentagons. Ergo, this is not an estate wine. They source their grapes. I'm sure from...
Well, they said they named all the places that it comes from.
Yes, Calistoga, St. Helena, Yountville, and the Oak Knoll District. So, from north to south.
Yountville is such a funny name for a place in California.
You've been there.
Well, I'm telling you something.
Have you been there, Scott?
I've not been there.
Okay. It sounds like a backwoods holler in Kentucky.
It's because it is a backwoods holler, but it's in Napa.
But doesn't it sound like that? Y'all from Yountville?
I think Yountville, that area is where I found what is it called? The quick food store? What the hell is it called? A convenience store with the Mexican pornography stand.
Oh.
Yes.
I was thinking that.
Oh, yes.
That's
cooking hot dogs on one thing, selling Mexican porn on the other.
I think you got me a Snickers there.
I did. But it wasn't next to the Mexican porn stand. And when I say a Mexican porn stand, I mean a big stand of porn. And it was all Mexican porn. How do I know that? Because I looked at it. I didn't look at it that close. And it was all in Spanish. It was Mexican porn. Both video
looked at it fairly closely to realize that it's all.
Well, you have to determine the ethnicity or ethnicity, whatever it is, the authenticity of it. So,
So you were verifying its authenticity,
yes,
too.
Yes. Videos and magazines. Interesting.
What your pregnant wife's out in the car. You drugged her to keep her asleep so you could look at all the
porn. No, I didn't look at it. I just looked at it.
There was another way you verified the authenticity.
I sent it to you, and you said, yeah, I've seen that.
He came out to the car, and I was so excited to get a Snickers. I was like...
Yeah, wasn't that exciting?
Yes, it was. I was like 31, 32 weeks pregnant, and Rob came out to the car with a Snickers, and I was ecstatic, and he kind of ruined it with...
The Mexican pornography?
Yeah.
I was just like, I've never seen that much Mexican pornography or porn anywhere condensed in such a... It was
not, on a rack or like on a bookshelf?
It was like an end cap size of all pornography, but it wasn't like a magazine and a video. Yeah. No, magazine. I mean, it was like a newsstand in New York, but it was all Mexican pornography.
So that was 7 years ago.
Also, maybe Filipino pornography. I don't
7 years ago. But I wonder if now that we've moved so digital... What it would be.
Mexican pornography. Because what do they do? Sell through that stuff? No, they still have it.
Maybe.
Probably. It's on the discount rack.
After this podcast, people are busting straight out there.
Yeah, everyone's had a dig out.
Unknown. What's it called? Oh, convenience store.
James Suckling's like, what is the name of this convenience store?
M&S Pizza.
And then, right across the street was a fantastic pizza place. It was magnificent.
Yep.
In Italian. Rustic.
Yeah, it was super cool.
Yeah, fire oven is gorgeous.
Oh, nice.
So that's the thing. What I was trying to say is you'd have a kind of a trashy convenience store in one spot. Then the next spot, you'd have this fantastic restaurant. It's just like it was such a hot, cold.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. So in the glass, it does look like dark Zin.
Yep. It's pretty dark, pretty black.
Mm-hmm. The nose, a little bit of berry. Very, very closed.
Yeah, I get a little vanilla.
Yeah.
From the oak.
Thank you, Rob.
Like.
What you meant to say was.
Like.
Well, I mean, it is vanilla. It is from the oak.
Something towards anise.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Something.
I know what you mean.
Something.
A slight bit of cola, too.
Oh, yes, that's it.
That's your anise, and yeah, it's a little cola.
Yes.
It's really a closed nose. You really have to work.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff's there if you want it to be, kind of, sort of. You could stick your nose in that and go, there's nothing there.
Cola / root beer. A little bit. That might sound negative, and it can be, and it sometimes isn't. It just depends on the wine.
Yeah.
It's not all that unusual. I mean, you'll see a cola nose sometimes on a Zinfandel occasionally. Not good Zinfandels, but you'll see that. I'm thinking this is going to be like Clinker Brick. That's my guess. Here we go. But this comes in the low 20s. Tight core of fruit. Blue fruit. Maybe an... It's not blackberry. Because it's not fleshy enough. You know what I mean? There's blue fruit and then... Yeah, it's blueberry, actually. And it's not... It's tightly wound, so maybe if it opens up a little bit more, it might be more plummy. But right now, it's a nice expression of blueberry. What else we got here? There's no cherry.
No.
Can we talk through?
But the spice box is lovely.
Can we talk through the finish a little bit?
Hey. Oh. There's a little funky thing there.
Yeah. What is that? I can't decide.
I'm sorry.
Funky.
I have a flaming moron for a dog that gets caught in all the damn mic cables.
But he's so cute.
He just laid down with a depressed look on his face because he actually was hung up on the mic cables. His back feet somehow were off the ground. And it's like, what are you fucking, you moron? Dumb. I'm not even sure what he's doing in there. He got lost, I guess.
Well.
If you me, I'm on one side of the on the bar and the Triple B and Scott are on the other. We all have our mics and you know whatever, and I'm in the, like tucked in the corner where all the audio video stuff is. How the hell he comes back in here and horses around? I don't know, but still. I digress. It's not a lengthy wine per se, but what's there is nice.
There's something about the finish that is.
Yeah, before
less than appealing.
Yeah, before you digress with Bo, I asked if we could kind of talk through the finish.
Sure. Yeah. It's woody.
I know the tasting notes say cedar.
Woody. Okay, cedar. Cedar, I would think is a. I would define it maybe as a little more refined. It's almost as if the oak takes form. It doesn't crescendo or turn sour, but it's almost as if there's an oak board that just goes across the wine and stops anything from going above it. It's just like an oak ceiling that, so if the fruit wanted to expand or you wanted some tannin to kind of lengthen out that finish, that oak works as like a lid on the wine that keeps it all down, you know? And I don't, it doesn't taste bad, but it doesn't allow the wine to really sing and get out there and stretch its legs.
There's something that's just a little, it's not quite off-putting, it's just a little odd. It's similar to when you get a sour oak, except it's not that.
Yes, maybe, that's what I was thinking
It's maybe
too.
Headed there a little bit.
I almost said sour oak, but I was like, that's not it. It's not.
White.
It's a balanced thing because the front palate is very nice. There is that core blue fruit and it starts to percolate into something and then it just kind of tails off because of that oak.
Yeah, and it's
not bad in any stretch of the imagination. But it doesn't do what you think it's going to do based upon the front palate. And this isn't something where bottle age will cure that.
Mm-mm.
This wine is kind of this, you know. And I suppose
if anything, it might even be more pronounced.
It could be. Yeah.
Some pepperiness or something.
Yeah, on the finish it would get a 91 with that. It's not showing that.
You know, there's a little savory thing in the middle too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not savory. Maybe it's like a kiss of red currant or something.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah, that's actually probably about what you're. Yeah.
It's nice.
It's not cherry though. Yeah.
No.
The fruit part of this wine is really, really nice, really well done. It's just a little bit of the framing and whatnot is what kind of throws it off. It just doesn't quite stick the finish.
The finish to me, it is oaky, but it has got a cough syrup. That's what I'm getting at the end.
A little medicinal.
Yeah, and like
the fruit is a little medicinal.
You know, after you take like a Robitussin, you're like that
acidity. There's a little bit of whiff of just tingly acidity. I know what you mean.
It's not jumping off the palate flavor train for me. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the front palate into the mid palate, and then maybe it's just a little out of balance.
Well, that's what I was saying.
As you described, the woodiness of the finish.
And it's not a pronounced, oh my God, that's charred oak. It isn't that.
No.
It never is that. It's just something that is restraining the wine.
And it's just a bit odd. The way this is oaked is just a bit. The way it presents is just a bit odd.
The way it presents is a bit odd, yes. Because, yeah, in this price range, normally you're going to have something that mm-hmm. is a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And this is medium-bodied.
Yeah, I would not call this broad-shouldered.
Depends on what you normally drink. If you normally drink Beaujolais, this would be broad-shouldered.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you do.
Yeah, enthusiast missed the mark there.
So I was thinking about how this is from four different vineyards. Do you think that because it's not really the end, that you know, the finish isn't, do you think it's due to the oaking? Do you think it's due to one of the vineyards? Do you think it's a combination?
Oak.
Oak.
Just the oak? Okay.
Yeah, and I think
it's actually, from what I can recall, it's not all that unlike our experience with the Pinot that they did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it just... Yeah. It was all fine and all. Structurally, fruit-wise, was all fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when you got down to the nitty-gritty, the finite aspects of the wine to make it something, basically winemaking, mm-hmm. to make it a cohesive unit, it lacked one or two things that just carried through. Now, I think this might be lacked three things because it's not as good as that Pinot was. I liked it better than you guys did, but we all didn't love it. It wasn't in danger of getting a 90, for instance.
Right.
Or an 89.
Nor is this.
No. It's not.
It's
or
just,
is it?
It's just...
no, you know, spoilers.
We've done so many Zins.
We have.
And there's so many things out there you can drink on a regular basis that are better than this. Far better than this.
Well, they know what they are. And that comes back to the idea. What does this winery do well? We've only done two things, mind you.
Right.
But it's like, how many chances are you going to give it? I mean, let's go get the cab for $30.
Let's go buy the Meritage for $50.
Why would I want to do that? I mean, I'm not going to go out and buy their Merlot at $28. That's stupid. Even for the show, it's like, okay, if you want to send us a bottle, we'll make fun of it. But I know it's going to be a mediocre experience, and that's what it's been. It's perfectly all well and good, but it's mediocre.
Well, but particularly for Zins. I mean, this wine's fine. It's not a bad wine. No. So maybe mediocre is a little harsh. But when you're talking about the world of Zins, when you're talking about the world of Zins and the Zins in this era of Zin production,
yeah, it's mediocre. It's mediocre. I think mediocre, but that mediocre, we know where that puts it somewhat in general. It's not bad. You can drink it.
Yeah.
And you can say, okay, it's fine. Friday night. I got it. Okay. I'll open the Napa Cellars. I'm not sure why you bought it in the first place.
Not on a Friday night.
Well,
what I was she'd going be to mad say, about if you open
this on not, I don't have any of this, and I'm not buying it, so don't worry
the
about that.
The other thing I would say about this is, why would you choose this over anything else?
Well,
it is not, I'm not giving away my score, but it is not memorable.
No.
It's fine. And that, it's disappointing. It's disappointing at the price point. You all bought this at $16 on closeout. It's still disappointing at $16. It really is. And the finish is bad. It really is. The front palate is too light for a Zin. It's somewhat interesting, but it's too light for a Zin. It's not fruit forward. There's no jamminess. I'm seeing things about the tannins. I don't taste any tannins.
This is one of the least tannic Zins we've probably had on the entire show.
I'll let everybody know, this quality-wise, this is as good as an average year of Bogle Old Vine Zin. Really, that's what this tastes like.
I would put Bogle above this.
Yeah, but you're paying $8.99 for it.
I was going to say, it's so you could buy three bottles.
I know. And I mean, but that's where you're at. Not as good as the really good years of it, because the 1 year that the enthusiast gave the Bogle Old Vines in a 91. That's much better wine than this is.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, even like on the off years, it's still about as good as this. And that really, that's what you're talking about here. You're talking, it looks like a good Napa Valley Zin in the glass. It does. Yep. It looks better than those wines. However, you're using oak on something and not really doing it well.
Yep.
And that's what's affecting the wine to a certain degree. And maybe this is the 15 vintage, mind you folks, but maybe the 16 would be better. Maybe, I don't think.
Maybe it's a little old.
No, 16 is current vintage, so you're not really that far off. This is what's on the store shelves. So
15 or the 16?
Well, you just bought this not that long ago.
But maybe that's why it's a little old. You know what's wrong with this?
But that's what's for sale. You didn't hold on to this for 2 years.
No.
You bought it from the store, and we've drank it a month after you bought it.
That's true.
That's what is out there in the supermarkets.
Do you know what this doesn't exhibit? Mm. The Petite Syrah character. At
no, it 15%. Doesn't. No.
So, I think that's the, you know, you talked about the stock from the different vineyards, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Where's the Petite Syrah? Where's the body?
It's a pretty good.
Where's the tannins?
It's a pretty high percentage.
50, exactly. So, I'm wondering where the stock of the Petite Syrah came from.
Yep.
Because the fruit front palate Zin character is there. Okay. It's a nice mid palate.
Okay. Scott, not you, because you won't like this. Get some more wine, put it in your glass. Then bathe. Remember how I sometimes invent a new way to drink a wine? I just found what they were talking about. It's kind of like you need the decoder ring. You won't like this wine. But bathe your tongue in it. You can work out where all the size and everything is in this wine and tannin. The problem is it has a port finish. And it is clinker brick. But we're talking about washing your tongue in it and really working the son of a bitch. Then you find it. And you don't have all the rest of this crap. It's so wound up in its own ass. It's kind of like, I'm not going to say it's like Klein. But remember originally the 16 ancient vine when we had it, we hated it. You especially hated it because of residual sugar. It wasn't residual sugar. It was just that wine, that bottle.
I almost thought that this had some residual sugar on the first couple pulls.
I mean, it's bright fruit.
I don't think it does.
No.
But I get that.
Yeah, I mean.
And I didn't draw air over it. I just let it kind of rest there. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe Becky's getting that because, you know, of the similarity to what you're talking about and her description of it having that syrupy, that cough syrupy thing.
That's where it comes in with the port finish.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe that is it. And
it's chewy as hell.
On a couple of sips, I've almost tasted a chalky mouthfeel.
Yeah, it is. Chalky tannin. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. This wine, as I've just discovered, because I'm, you know, it is a Jekyll and Hyde. It has a different, even, I wouldn't even call it quaffing, because we weren't exactly quaffing.
No.
Lightly pulling air over it, even then, different wine from literally working the wine with your mouth. Mm. Now, I'm not saying it's necessarily, oh my God, that's a 91 now. Mm. Still out of balance, still a little disjointed. But it's a bigger wine with a bunch of tannin. And it's,
but you know what?
Broad-shouldered. Well, it's still medium-bodied. It's just, it's a bigger medium-bodied.
Should we have that character, that style from Napa?
Sure.
Mm. Where's Clinker?
Mm. Lodi. At Lodi. I know. It's normally we associate that with Amador, Lodi.
Amador, Lodi.
But hey, man, there's been some, think about Turley's, they got some big ass Zins from, and they also have some unusual oddballs that come out of that too. But these guys are sourcing and blending.
Yep.
So what kind of, you know, the terroir, what are you showing there? It's homogenized to a certain extent. So it's Napa, but, you know, it's homogenized.
Not my favorite thing.
No, I still don't think that. It's just, it's a lot bigger wine when you do that.
Decoder ring.
I know. And it's just, even then, that style that is just so pent up and nasty-ish like that. I want my wine to show its whole card straight off the bat. It shouldn't have a secret level to it. You know, you do that with Turley, you get Turley from the sip. Segeshio, it is what it is from the sip.
Always.
You're never going to mistake that. Good wines should be there. Boom, done. This wine, a little bit inept in its winemaking. It's winemaking, I think. Because the fruit is there when you pull it. It's the use of oak and how it comes in. I think it's a little too heavy-handed.
And maybe it's not too heavy-handed if you had better, more proper, bigger Petite Sirah stock.
But no, I don't think so, because I think what it is, on a lot of these wineries, they think oak equals prestige and justification for a higher price, when in reality, oak equals oak. It doesn't necessarily mean anything.
No.
Because there's some great wines that are stainless steel fermented. I mean,
and there's some cheap wines, $10 wines that are oaked.
Yeah.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
Without this oaking,
mm-hmm.
What would there be?
There wouldn't be much of a finish.
Well, no, there wouldn't be much of a finish.
Because, it's Jimmy, how did you describe the tannins?
What's that?
Fine.
Fine. I said spice box. I said fine tannins. They're fine. Yeah. You know.
But if this wasn't as oaked as heavily as it is, we would have literally nothing to talk about this wine.
But only 34% of it was on oak, right?
No, 34% on French.
That's not the way I read it.
Oh, okay.
34% on oak,
yeah,
basically.
I think a third of it was oaked.
Yeah, 34%.
Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, that's what they mean.
But yeah, I think, and that's two-thirds of it is unoaked, which it does not.
No, I think they're describing the amount of new oak.
I think it was all new oak, wasn't it?
The partial use of new oak helps preserve the bigs and mill flavors. We're aged in 34% new French and American oak barrels for 19 months. So I think it's 34% new French and the rest in American oak.
No. Man, yeah, maybe that's what
it's
I mean.
It's confusing no matter what.
Yeah, it was poorly written. Yeah.
If you just shocking. Give your oak percentages.
Truly so shocking it was poorly written.
I know.
Just want to be accurate, say what your oak is. If you don't want to confuse people, but we're easily confused.
But truly, If this wasn't oaked, what would we be talking about?
About the Columbus Clippers.
Seriously.
Ring your bell.
I know. Well, I know what we'll be talking about in the next segment. So as soon as we come back, folks, we're going to have pro and con here on the Wine Vault.
Everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault?
Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, tonight, we are going to play Pro V Con. It's going to be the Triple B versus Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
I'm ready tonight.
We have the remaining thingamajiggies in
things that Becky has already thrown back in.
Probably. And so, to go over the rules for Scott, prior to pulling something out, you're going to say...
Pro or con.
You're going to determine... Put your
pro.
Hand out of there.
Pro.
We haven't started yet. You're going to declare whether or not you are pro or con of the topic. Then you have to argue regardless of how you feel about the topic, either pro or con. Then the other person has to argue the opposite. So, Triple B, you are the champion. Would you like to go first or second?
I'll go first.
Okay. Pro or con?
Thank you, Bo, for keeping us safe. I'll be pro as long as I know what it is.
Okay. Becky is pro. And she's pro. Okay, what is it?
Oh, no. That's a wicked smile.
Mm-hmm.
My pro is Dry Creek Valley.
Dry Creek Valley.
Are we allowed 1 minute of internet research or no?
No research.
I hate this game.
It's hard.
I know.
Okay. The only wine that I 1,000% know comes from here is Dry Creek Zin and the Fumé Blanc,
mm-hmm.
which are two of my top favorite wines.
They are.
I love them both. Scott, I think you have also scored them well. I see a 90 and a 90. So I do believe that I'll probably win by default. But I will say, especially the Dry Creek Zin, I've talked about this before on the show. To me, it is it's not that expensive. What is the price? $17.99? Yeah. But it drinks like a $30, $40 wine. It is a delight every time I've had it. I honestly, when Rob put in a decent-sized wine.com order, this past week,
mm-hmm.
I was a little bit bummed. That was my first thought. Oh, you didn't order any Dry Creeks in for us.
You said for them to be cheap.
I did say for them to be cheap, but you know, that is a wine
the
that
Fumé's
I...
The Fumé's cheap.
I don't want fucking Fumé Blanc.
Which is also... also delicious. It's very good. But the Dry Creeks in is just exceptional. You're never going to be disappointed. And sadly, I can't name another winery from there. But I know that one.
Oh, no. And now it's Scott.
Zanin's from Dry Creek.
He's in Columbus. But, yeah, okay. He sources things from Dry Creek.
Yes. Zanin's from Dry Creek. I think the Petite is, too.
Yes.
The problem with Dry Creek is that you can't get enough of it. Mm. It's unavailable. There's not enough stuff from there.
What
about the excessive moisture down in the valley, and then it causes a
green valley
or rot?
Rot.
Yeah, vine rot. Do you know about that?
Botrycized.
That's no vine rot is not botrycized.
What's
it's botrycized.
What's it called?
Vine rot.
Mm-mm. No, the other thing that they. I thought it started with like a B or a P.
Oh, you mean the parasitic soils?
Yes. But no. There's a different word. Phlox?
Yeah. Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
No, the only con to Dry Creek is
mm-hmm.
you can't get enough of it.
Yeah. That's fair.
Can't get enough of Dry Creek. That's what's wrong.
Yeah, you're sealed. It's got.
We
okay.
can't get enough.
I'm so excited.
Of
I won that
Creek.
By default. Becky, number
you
one.
You always win by default. Okay, now, Scott.
Time to research.
Pro or con?
Con.
Con.
And your category is American Oak.
You'll probably fail
win
on this
by
one.
Default. American Oak is harsh. It is the lesser of the three choices. By far, in terms of quality.
What are the three choices?
Hungarian, French, and American oak.
What about Croatian?
Nope.
That's a choice.
Not as widely used.
But it's a choice.
Not as widely used as the three. No. And American Italy oak is brash, harsh, oftentimes off-putting, and this wine is a prime example. It should have gone 66% instead of 34% French. Maybe we wouldn't be left with this finish.
Okay.
American oak. Con. Go with French oak.
Okay.
On to the triple
so
B.
Here's my pro. I would say that not every wine should be aged with American oak. So I'll give you that concession. But I will say that if you have a big enough wine, if you have a brawny enough wine, like especially some of your really big cabs, I think that they do just fine on American oak. They're able to handle kind of the roughness of it. And it does add vanilla for sure, but some of that like rugged flavor to a bigger wine.
That is the best anyone has ever done except for me on Pro V Con and on a retort. Good job, Triple B.
Well, it's not true.
That's actually completely true. That's why Harlan Screaming Eagle uses American oak.
Oh, that's because they're
no, that's because she was right. Okay, so that was excellent job.
Thank you.
Well done, actually. It's Becky's turn, dum-dum. She can pick it out if she wants
no.
to. Why can't? Because she's a woman, she can't pick it out? Pro right. or con, Becky?
So pro. Harsh.
Pro. It's positive.
There's enough negativity in the world.
No that's kidding. True.
Let me look at it and I can tell you if you can do it or not.
Oh, my God.
What do you mean?
Russian
judge.
You don't know.
Man, he's going to mansplain it to you.
I know what
he's
going to
decide
oh,
if you can do it.
I just
he's going to decide if you're capable.
I don't know what to
say. Well, that's so. Oh, you're pro, though.
Yeah.
They're making eyes across the table, folks.
That's right.
I'm pro Kendall Jackson.
Okay, you're pro Kendall Jackson. Kendall Jackson.
Okay.
I did this a long time ago when we actually drank Kendall Jackson. It is complicated, folks.
So, in my mind, Kendall Jackson is also like Robert Mondavi, like some of those really huge wine houses. And so you are going to get some really, really, really cheap wine that maybe isn't going to just knock your socks off every time you drink it. But that a wine house like Kendall Jackson is going to have the full complement. They're going to make everything under the sun. I don't know what their starting price point is, but I would guess $8 all the way up, $10 all the way up.
Sure, why not? Costco, yeah.
Yeah. But something that I will say is that you will always find consistency. You're not going to find a huge change year over year with Kendall Jackson. You're going to see just pretty much you can always go and buy it, and it will pretty much taste the same, some differences. And that's something that we've seen a lot of lately. Like we had Sledgehammer previously liked it. Now, not great. Mm. We also saw that with J. Lore. Loved it. Now, not great.
Yes.
You're not going to really find that with the Kendall Jackson wine. Mm. It's going to kind of be the same over time. So it might not be the most unique wine or the most memorable wine. But I would say you're also not going to have these huge like peaks and valleys with it. That it's just a pretty steady wine over time.
The con.
I wouldn't even bother screaming.
The con with Kendall Jackson is exactly what the Triple B said.
What?
Kendall Jackson's like Robert Mondavi. They do everything, but most of it not well. So it's all over the place.
What don't they do that's well?
Any of it.
Like what? Like what? Because you like the Cabernet. You like the Chardonnay.
No.
Did you like the Summation?
No.
I just did.
That was...
You like the Pinot?
All the Summation had a lot of bottle variability. Do you recall that?
You like
Do you
the
recall
Pinot
that, my friend? Do you call that
right? I wasn't stupid enough to drink it more than once.
See, there is variation.
No, there's no variation.
Oh, my Lord.
Their Anderson Valley Pinot Noir is delicious.
Okay. How much is that a bottle?
23.
Mm.
It's wonderful. It's actually wonderful.
I think it's a little more than that.
No.
Yes.
Low 20s.
And clearance.
You're arguing with the judge?
Yep, pretty much.
Good job.
No, it is what it is. It's high production. You know, you're going to go elsewhere if you want high quality wines.
Why?
Because you don't have those.
Yes, I do. Have you heard Cardinal?
High production.
Cardinal's very good.
Fair quality. I'll give them that. It's fair quality. Decent. We've had a couple we liked. Really good. We've had a couple we liked.
Many of them. All of them. We haven't liked. We haven't disliked one.
A couple we didn't. The Summation we didn't like.
No, we gave it. It's in the Hall of Fame.
But then afterwards.
Well, you tasted it. But then again, you're probably drinking it back to back with Sledgehammer. So
you and I had a bottle at my house and it was bad. We didn't even finish it.
I wouldn't drink Kendall Jackson with you alone.
We didn't even finish it.
People would judge me. No.
People do judge you.
Well, not about you.
It's funny that you called it a Costco wine, because I see that when I think of wine that you can buy at Costco, it's that. But it's also wine for the masses. There's nothing wrong with it at all.
That's right.
It's wine for the masses. That is something wrong with it.
Scott's an elitist. Can't
I
you
know,
tell?
I've seen that.
All right. So that was well done. Scott, on to you.
Well done, Scott?
No. Yeah, it was well done me.
Pro
I nailed it.
Pro or con?
Perfect.
We did. I'm going to read it first.
No. Put it back in there. Put it back in there. You can't cheat.
What was the first? I did Dry Creek. Then what did
Gone.
Scott do?
Pro.
What did Scott do for yours?
He did American Oak.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Gamay.
Pro Gamay.
Beaujolais. And one of the most wonderful bottles of wine we ever had on the show. One of the most unique bottles of wine we ever had on the show. Was that little sparkler.
What was it called?
I don't recall what it was called. It was a low alcohol.
Bruges. Codex Bruges?
Codex? I think the X is silent.
Bruges.
I think we described it as the perfect breakfast wine.
I would just drink it. All day long, actually.
Yeah. It was less than 10% alcohol, but it was wonderful. The effervescent was
If I had to choose one wine to perish from drinking too much of, that would be
one. It might be one.
It might be
one of the choices.
It would be that one.
That bubbler we did, that sparkler we did.
It's just so lovely.
It was fantastic.
And in reality, it wasn't all that different than, what was that shit? Let's be frank. How different was it than... What's the thing Brecky brought for the Halloween show? You got from your work?
Oh,
Stella Rosa.
Yeah.
It wasn't all that different.
It wasn't all that different than that.
From the wine cooler. But
yeah.
You're a psycho.
Go ahead.
Gamay. Beaujolais.
Mm-hmm.
It's a classic French grape.
Okay. Why?
It's Hall of Fame. Because it is.
Okay.
Beaujolais.
Would you like to go con?
Worldwide, perhaps.
I don't want to go con, but since that's what I must do, I would say
varietal in the world.
Gamay is very, very lovely. But it is also, you have a good Gamay, it's a wonderful wine. Mm. You have a bad Gamay, it would be terrible. It would be truly terrible.
So, if, say, J. Lore did Gamay, which they do.
Do they really?
Oh, yes.
Have you ever had it?
Oh, yes.
How was it?
Oh, no. This is a few years ago, but just
I
say,
think about it along the same lines as a Pinot. You have a good Pinot, and it is life-changing. You have a bad Pinot, and you're wondering why you ever drink wine in the first place.
De autrefois.
See, I think Gamay is a little easier to get right. I think there's a lot of bad Pinots. Other than Rob pulling some shit out of his ass about J-Lore, what's a bad Gamay?
Well, J-Lore was bad enough for many Gamays. I mean, give the Fry Brothers a chance. I'm sure they get to look it up. Yeah. I'm sure Napa Cellars has an extremely boring Gamay somewhere.
Yeah, but I think it's a wine that it has a lot of highs, but a lot of lows. That's all that I can say bad about it, though.
Yeah, it's tough.
And then the final round, folks.
The tiebreaker. The tiebreaker.
We'll find out now if I sweep.
The tiebreaker. It's 2-2.
Pro or con?
Pro.
Pro.
Oh, I think she looked at it.
No, she didn't. I was watching her eyes.
I would not.
You were looking down at your pen.
I would not have chosen Pro.
I would. I'm multitasking.
So I pulled out Monterey.
What?
So I wasn't cheating.
You can say a lot of things. You don't have to say about wine.
I know. That's what I was going to say. So I
You know, why don't you just give it to her on a silver platter, son?
You've done that, dumbass. The Dry Creek Valley sucks. That is good. I don't like it.
Tell me whenever I'm allowed to go.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Please.
So there was this show that was on HBO, and it had Nicole Kidman, and it had Reese Witherspoon. It was called Big Little Lies.
Okay.
It was set in Monterey.
Was it?
The book was set in, like, New Zealand, but the show was set in Monterey.
That's a little different.
Right. I don't know why. But anyways... that's where it was said. And then all of the homes were, everyone in the show was super, super loaded. That was part of the whole thing. And everyone had these beach houses with these like amazing views, like you would imagine in Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
So my pro would be the beach houses in Monterey.
You would want to drink wine there, just not drink wine
Can
from
there.
Can
you imagine how delightful it would be to have a really lovely wine on your deck?
What?
Why are you so upset?
I think it sounds lovely.
What did you do this weekend that you're kissing her butt so much?
Go ahead, Scott.
No, seriously. What'd you do? What happened? What'd you do?
This isn't about me.
What'd you do?
Nothing.
No, you did something.
I'm perfect in every way.
She just hasn't found out about it yet, has she?
No, but that's not the point.
Monterey for wine. There's a lot of cons about that.
Which are?
It's probably half the grape stock in California wines comes from Monterey. Monterey and Lodi.
Central Valley.
Yeah. You know, it's just
bad.
If I was going to pick a region where I didn't want to drink wine from in California... I'm in San Diego County. I can't think anywhere else but Monterey.
Why?
Los Angeles County, maybe?
But why?
Because it's bad.
Why?
It sucks.
Why?
Name one that's good. Yeah.
Well, that's not the point.
That is the point.
I'm sure there are several of them that are lovely.
Everybody in Monterey County is going, he's right. Yeah, we suck. We suck.
But why are they bad?
Do I have to explain bad versus good?
No, you have to explain to me why they are bad.
They're just not good.
But why?
Because they suck.
But why?
It's just not the best place to grow grapes.
Why is that?
Cabbage.
No, no, no. No, they don't grow cabbage in Monterey. That's Central Valley.
I bet they do.
No, they don't.
I bet it's high stock for growing the CBD.
No. Okay. You're very good at this, Scott.
Actually, I bet there's plenty of warehouses growing in Monterey.
Probably.
Monterey sucks for wine. It's as simple as that. There's no big argument.
But does it suck as a place?
I just said Monterey.
California rocks.
I didn't say Monterey AVA.
Is Monterey any better than anywhere else in Cali? I don't know.
Baltimore sucks for wine, but it's a great place.
Baltimore, Maryland?
Ohio.
No, it sucks, just in general.
No, it's wonderful.
Okay, we need to work on what wonderful means.
I like living here.
Well, I know, but we don't live in Baltimore now, do we?
That's true. Liberty Township sucks for growing wine.
I'm from Pickerington.
It's a very nice place. What?
I'm just joking. That's what I tell
You're
people.
So high.
So, folks, the scores. Oh, Jesus.
This is terrible.
No, you were terrible.
I'm always terrible. I hate this game.
The first round of Pro V Con, it was Dry Creek Valley. Becky was pro, Scott was con.
I won.
Becky won that.
I challenge that. Listeners, call in.
I'm not sure how you could have lost it. Although,
the proof is on the Hall of Fame.
Dry Creek? We love Dry Creek.
So how could you have gotten
it? You just rambled.
I wanted it to be more available. I wanted more stuff from Dry Creek.
But I only gave Becky one check mark on that. So it wasn't like
there's
it was
only
a big
one check mark available for each one.
You'd think that. But I changed that.
So it's true that we did win on marbles the other night because we had such a dominating win.
No.
We won the fight. There's only three rounds. We won by such domination in the first round that
you,
we took the night.
I have been told that you won.
I would
won.
Agree with that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
All I know is I was hungover the almost.
Oh, my God. You were a disaster.
So anyway, I know we drank too much. But nevertheless, the number two round, it was Scott Kahn, Becky Pro, and they were about American Oak. Now, I'm not sure how this occurred, but Scott, in some fashion, did the poorest anyone has ever done, and Becky did the best anyone's ever done. Everything I was looking for, Becky hit. Yes, big, strong California Cabernets do well with American Oak. It was symphony.
I did leave out Washington. I should have included Washington, right?
Nah. You were good.
Okay.
Because Screaming Eagle, Harlan...
Good.
Scarecrow.
But
those
American
are all.
American Oak is not good.
But
it's
she
simple,
was pro.
Straightforward.
She made a. No, it's not straightforward. You're straightforward,
well.
Sort of. So anyway, Becky gets three check marks for her performance, and
Lord.
She wins that.
What did you do?
The next round was
did
Kendall.
Did you buy another cat?
Was Kendall Jackson.
Is there another cat in Nicaragua?
I've never purchased a cat in my life. It was.
Allegedly.
Kendall Jackson. Becky was pro. Scott was con. Becky once again made a very compelling argument for Kendall Jackson.
What, compared it to Mondavi?
That's actually a good comparison.
Available.
Yeah. She put out all the good points on it. And for that...
That's not a pro. That's a description.
Not only does she win, she gets two check marks.
Ooh. Oh, my Lord.
Right now,
how many check marks did I get?
Seven?
None.
To zero.
Oh, my Lord.
So it's six right
bias.
Now.
Bias.
Six to...
Bias.
I have seven.
You have one
six.
Plus three plus two.
Okay, six.
There
okay.
we go. You just might lose. Gamay.
That's nine check marks for me.
Gamay, I mean, yeah, Scott, there's a lot of things you could have said that you didn't.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're pro Gamay on this. Scott was pro, Becky was con. There's not a lot con, but at least she pointed out the fact that I could make fun of Jay Lore, so that helps. Scott, you never broke
she
down.
She didn't.
Scott,
she didn't make that point. You made that point.
Let me critique.
No, you made that point.
Yes, but she gave me the opportunity to make that point.
No, you made that point. Becky did not make that point.
The point was made regardless. So let
oh
me say
Lord.
This. Scott, you could have pointed out the fact that Beaujolais just like it mirrors Burgundy at a fraction of the price. And the fact is you have a grape that can be something that is just a triumph, but not a Burgundy price.
That's and exactly you, what I said. I just said it more simply.
And you fit very simply.
It's Gamay. It's Beaujolais. It's the most approachable grape in the world.
No, it's not. And you failed.
Oh, my Lord.
You
Beaujolais
failed.
Is the most approachable wine in the world. Gamay is the grape.
So Becky got one check mark on that one.
Oh, my Lord.
So she's up 7-0. And then the last one was Monterey. Becky was pro. Scott was con. Now, Scott, I mean, there are unlimited check marks a person can achieve during a segment of Pro V Con. So you theoretically...
Now it's unlimited check marks.
It could be. So you theoretically could win if you did really well. But you didn't. Matter of fact, you did poorly. Matter of fact, you didn't say... I ask you, what's wrong with Monterey?
It sucks.
That's not an answer, dumbass.
Yes, it sucks.
No. You know what? Monterey's lovely. Becky pointed out the fact it's beautiful there.
Oh, my Lord. All of California is beautiful.
And she made the point that... It's a wonderful place to drink wine, just not from them. She made that point all on her own.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with it.
That was gone.
And so for that.
I think she made the wrong argument.
For that, she gets.
That's penalty points.
One checkpoint.
Oh, Lord.
So Tonight's score, Becky wins
tonight, 8-0.
Maybe you could read a book, Scott. Just take a look. It's in a book.
Okay.
Learn something about wine.
Yeah.
This is embarrassing for you.
I know Gamay and Beaujolais are the most widely accessible grape in the world. It's easy. And I got negative points for that. Come on, son. Monterey sucks.
Now, folks,
plain and simple. Monterey sucks.
Next week we will play another round with the last five cards.
Oh, I don't know if I even know them.
But what I'm going to do for them,
just looking through them
tonight, I'm going to announce to them what they are.
Jeez.
You should give us a minute. All we need is a minute to look stuff up.
Okay, tell.
The first one is Jeb Dunnock.
Oh, God.
Wait, we did Jeb before.
I think before you say them, we should say pro or con.
No.
No, like
oh,
I'll
you
say,
want, oh.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We'll do that. We'll mix them up. Now, first, Scott, you lost this one. You get to go first.
You pick pro or con.
You have to write down, and you're going to argue pro or con next week.
What are we doing?
Okay. I'm pulling out a card. Say pro or con for this. And this is what you're going to have to argue next week.
Jim Dunnock, I'm pro.
Mm-mm.
No.
Yes.
He's back in the
new ones out.
Yeah.
I'm Jeb Dunnock, I'm pro.
No, you're not Jeb Dunnock.
I got to go first. You pulled him out.
No, you're pro on this one.
Oh, my God.
Okay, are you ready? You're pro on this one that I just pulled out. Are you ready?
Yeah.
No, I'm not pro on that one. I'm pro on
no,
Jeb Dunnock.
No, you're not pro on Jeb Dunnock. You're pro on this one.
I'm con on this one.
No, you're pro. You already announced.
I didn't say pro on this one.
You announced pro. You're pro.
I did not.
Too late. You're pro. You have to argue pro, and this is what you have to argue pro on. Cupcake wines. So Scott will be pro cupcake wines.
No, I refuse.
Well, that's too bad. That's the way it is. Now, Becky, pro or con for the next one?
They're approachable like Robert Mondavi.
Don't do it now.
Does that win me?
I will say pro.
Pro. You have to be pro Italy wines. Italian wines. Scott. You might still get Jeb Dunnock. Pro or con?
Pro.
Pro.
If it's Joe Dubden.
Oh, okay. You can do this one. Pro Columbia Valley.
Oh, we did Columbia Valley before.
Oh, we're doing it again.
Okay.
Becky. Pro or con?
Pro.
Turley. Scott, you have to be con Turley.
I refuse.
I can't believe we even picked Turley out yet.
You have to be Turley.
We did.
But you didn't. And then the last one, Scott, pro or con?
I'm not going
con. Pro or con?
I know what I'm going to do, con. Okay. Pro.
Why don't you do con? You already said
you
con.
You know the answer.
It is Jeb Dunnock. She's almost dumb enough that you said con.
Yeah. I'm
so Jeb Dunnock is the last one.
It's terrible. How could you put Turley in there?
How could you not?
Because it's pro versus con. It's dumb. We all love Turley.
Apparently, you don't understand. Obviously, you don't understand the point of this game. But next week, you
no,
have.
No, I understand the point of this game is for you to rig it.
Stop rigging. I've given you the questions. You come up with compelling arguments.
Yeah.
For next week's show.
To go con against Italian wines and Turley. Yeah, right.
Well, if you
and
have
pro,
a week.
Pro for cupcake wine.
Hey, man. That's just the way it is.
There's a lifetime for that.
Yeah, hey.
Well, we could have your sister on the show, and maybe she would enjoy it.
She drinks Winking Owl.
Same thing?
That's not. One tastes like Kool-Aid. The other one tastes like
Kool-Aid.
Okay, might be so. Well, that's an argument you can make. Maybe that will impress upon me something impressive. You have a week. A week. Do your homework.
No, there's no homework.
You're so lazy.
It's lazy.
You're lazy and stupid.
Lord.
You just know you suck, and that's the problem.
Yeah, everybody sucks if you have to go con on Turley.
No, they don't. I can do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Especially the week. Jeezy God.
You're going to go con on Turley.
I'm not playing, but I could.
Well, then let's you play con versus pro.
We already set it up, so it's too late.
No, it's not too late. We can do whatever we want. It's our show.
It's actually mine. So
well, we could do it. So, we could still do it.
No, you can't.
I could be the judge.
You're not the judge of anything.
Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge.
You just proved my point. So, folks, we're going to take a break and come back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the Napa Cellars, Napa Valley, Zinfandel. We're going to go around the room, and we're going to get some scores as to this wine.
Okay.
I'm presuming that the enthusiast and suckling will not be upstaged by the numerical scores provided to it by this dais. Dais, actually, is the term. So we're going to go over the triple B. Okay. We're going to get that score that she is... has to herself. The decanter is not empty.
Right. I'm gonna give this an 86. The front palate is very nice. It really is. I was unable to find the tannins, which is fine. The finish is off-putting. It's too light-bodied for me in a Zin. It does have somewhat of a chalky mouthfeel, which is not my favorite, but it is like, it is probably the most interesting thing I could find about it. Most interesting positive thing I could say about it. It's not a memorable wine. I would not buy again.
It's actually, I'm glad it's not memorable. That way I can forget all about this experience.
Just like Ooh. We forgot all about the Pinot. It's, I mean... I'm not going to downplay it as much as you did. I think the front palate, the fruit, is nice. It is typical, but that's the only thing that's good about it. The oaking, yeah, if you play your decodering game, it's better. It doesn't have tannins, per se, that you would expect.
It does back in there. I see a grand wine.
They're there.
It's like Petrus.
Weak.
Lepine.
It's just not that good.
Is it Rothschild that I'm drinking?
But it's not objectionable. The oaking is just, it's just weird more than it's bad. I'm going to go 85.
Ooh. Comrade.
Eh,
85 of your points.
I gave 85 my points.
You going to give it a value price all for him?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Because it's not value priced.
No.
That's what's upsetting.
Well, I'm very aware of that. It's very sarcastic. But I'm giving it 93 of my points. No, I'm not.
James Suckling.
Actually, I had written down 86 of my points. And quite frankly, 84 to 86.
Yes,
86
agreed.
Is top of the mark.
Agreed.
I'm closer to 85 than 86. It is. I think we're all in agreement that this is a very... no wine by a very
lackluster.
I think the term I used was mediocre, if that. And like I said, I did find that use the secret decoder ring and find a different wine, but I really don't like doing that, and no one does that. And even then,
it didn't make it better.
It made it different.
Yeah, it just.
You know, it's it was wearing a mask, and then it took its mask off and went and put the mask back on.
We had some bad Zinfandels. Mm-hmm. This isn't a bad Zinfandel, but it's just not very good.
Yeah, it's somewhere in that range of good to bad. I mean, it isn't good. Is it bad? You're like, no. But if I paid $24 or $25 for it, I might say it's bad.
I'd be pissed off.
It does not have good, what'd you call it? Quality to value ratio. Quality to value ratio.
QVR.
It's QPR.
Whatever. We play this game all the time.
Good God. No, I it's not recommended, period. Actually, we haven't found anything by this winery that is recommended.
Recommended.
Wacky.
If they do have a cheese plate at their winery, that might be recommended. I don't know.
It could be good.
Who can say?
It could be. If they sell dog treats, they might be recommended. We'll have to ask Bo.
It could be a dog-friendly... Yeah. Maybe that's their thing.
It could be. I don't think so, though.
I bet they're organic dog treats.
Maybe if they actually grew the grapes, it'd be better.
Well,
just don't put the map on there. Just don't do that. Just makes you look silly. Leave it off there. Say, hey, here's a picture of Napa.
Zin's our thing, and this is not our thing.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But... how many different Zins do you think we've had?
Oh, wow.
Since the Turley tasting, since we've started doing the show.
Different ones?
Yeah.
I don't...
40?
No, more than that.
I was going to say 75.
75 to 100. Probably 100 different zins. I mean, I've had maybe 150, 200 different zins. Well, more than that.
I'm talking like just since like the Turley tasting moving forward.
Mm. Oh, no, no,
since
no.
Since we kind of started.
100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
150.
This is bottom 15%.
Absolutely.
Really? Wow.
Bravo! I mean, it's not OZV.
Maybe so. We have the Wall of Fame. We have the value price Wall of Fame. Maybe we should have the bottom 15% Hall of Fame.
The bottom 15%. Just the bottom 15%.
If we ever install a bathroom down here, those will go in there.
Oh, that's
yeah.
funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm better at pro and con, pro versus con, than this wine is good.
No, you're better at pro v con than they are at making wine.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. No. Yeah. I was being a little more blunt and more serious, and they're not. Hey guys, we're Fry Brothers bad, but because it doesn't taste like stomach acid. But hey,
maybe we should give Fry Brothers another chance.
At least that makes you feel something. So.
What, the stomach acid?
Yeah, it makes me feel something.
I have my homework for next week, and I'm ready.
Good.
Oh, Lord.
I'm glad. So
I've never been anything other than an A-plus student, so just be ready.
And Scott's never been anything but a freaking mongoloid. So.
No, I was actually summa cum laude, but whatever.
From what?
College.
College?
Mm-hmm.
Clown college?
No, college.
Beautician's college? What college?
Oh, my Lord.
Jesus Christ.
Go away.
They need to get their money back from you, apparently. So. For Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu and see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night, folks.